So you want to know? Welcome to the Swana Know podcast. I'm your host, Annelisa Swana. Join us every week as we explore stories of triumph, resilience, and anything you want to know. And today we have with us Dr. Melissa Peterson, and she's going to talk to us a bit about gynae cancers. We did have her last year, and so much has happened between last year, September, yes, and September 24. Welcome, yeah. Doctor. How are you?
Oh, I am great. Thank you. A lot of things have happened.
Yeah.
So we have, I founded Purple Project.
Woo!
So we've been working really, really hard.
Yeah.
I've been, because of what we spoke about last year.
Sure.
And also, I think when we really delve into the literature, if we really delve into the statistics, there's really a need for some campaign, for something to start,
yeah,
to actually drive this awareness, because it's not out there.
Sure.
You know, it's really difficult getting people out of the pink mindset.
Mm.
It's still very important.
Yeah.
You know, we still get a lot of breast cancer patients. The difference is, as I said last year, is that we luckily get early presentation breast cancers,
sure,
which is good. And this is how far we've gone with awareness campaigns. But unfortunately, we see very late presentation gynaes, and officially cervical cancer is the leading cause of cancer death in females in South Africa. So there's really a conversation to be had.
That's hectic. And now that we are talking, I'm just thinking that in my mind, I always know that when I, after bathing or taking a shower, I check for lumps.
Yes.
And that's the only cancer that I am aware of that affects women.
Mm-hmm.
But the stats are bad.
Yes. And the thing is also, what we, you know, this is, I mean, people can go back. I have the conversation we had last year, is that it's a very private thing. And
yeah,
unfortunately, I mean, I've had so many conversations with people intimately, because we're still, sure, not able to have those conversations in groups, where people will say that it's very uncomfortable, or, you know, us as females, you tend to want to, you know, look after the family, look after everything. And only when, once you circle the drain, that's when you seek medical help, because you put everybody first. You know, there's a lot of our patients that present late because they're looking after everybody.
Everybody.
You know, somebody else is sick, and so they, you know, their health is the last thing that they think of. So, so it is, it's very important. It's something that, yeah, we really have to.
What can help us with early detection?
So, early detection.
Yeah.
Early detection starts at primary prevention. And this is also a very touchy subject, I have discovered. So the HPV vaccine is enrolled in our schools, and it is, you know, in partnership with the educational, with the Department,
sure,
of Education, basic education. And so 8 out of 10 of us will contract HPV in our lives. It is sexually transmitted, but can be transmitted, you know,
okay,
via skin, mother to child.
Okay.
And there are certain variants or certain types of the HPV virus that basically turns into cancerous cells later in our lives. What has been enrolled is the HPV vaccine, which basically is similar to measles, polio. You know, it's essentially to eradicate HPV.
Yeah.
It's enrolled in 140 countries. We've had it since 2014. But there is a hesitancy with parents, because parents still have to consent,
sure,
exactly, to get the HPV vaccine. And it's something that will protect your child in future against, you know, contracting HPV, and then that being dormant, because it's not like you will you have any signs and symptoms,
yeah,
you know, that will show that you have it, but it will, it can basically turn cancerous. The, I think also in this past year, what I've seen is the youngest being a 22-year-old with stage 4 cervical cancer, a 28-year-old with vulva cancer, and this is all HPV associated. And these young ladies, they're essentially, it's primary prevention. And then for us, as you know, our older ladies, people who are sexually active already, I think, and this is what Purple Project is there for, is basically to empower our patients to know the signs and symptoms, to know what is abnormal, especially when you're still menstruating. We don't know when it is abnormal, heavy flow in between, all the, risk factors, all those things. The government has a Pap smear protocol and a plan in place for all women over 30 to get free Pap smears at the clinic. But when do we know when to get it? Do we know when to get it? Exactly. And also,
I know that
because it is a national crisis. Because it is national, and that's the thing. I think that people kind of need to see this, because we get sort of, the whole, South African department with the logo and everything. It's like, this is declared a national crisis because, all our women are dying of it.
Sure.
And the WHO, the World Health Organization, also have goals in place. By 2030, they want 90% of girls under 15 to be vaccinated, 70% of women to have had Pap smears and access to, and 90% of women diagnosed with a gynecological cancer to have access to treatment.
Sure.
And so those are the goals that we're working towards. Mm. But the thing is, there's this gap between, there's the things that are there, there's the HPV vaccine, there's the Pap smears, and there's the goals, but who's the in-between? Where are we, like, educating our
who
patients?
Takes that information
exactly
to the patient?
And that's what we want to do, besides us seeing it in practice. Purple Project really wants to be there to facilitate, to educate, to help to break stigmas, because with every vaccine, we saw it with COVID. There's stigmas now with the HPV vaccine, that it will interfere with fertility, that it will encourage your child to sexual activity. The thing is that your child will become sexually active at some point in their lives. They might have, two sexual partners, like, in their lifetime. One could give them HPV and they could be susceptible to it. There are people that I know that have, married their high school sweetheart who have, had cervical cancer and have had an HPV associated cancer. So it's there, and we really, really, really want to get into those rooms with people, get into those rooms with parents. And we need people like you. We need mothers, we need community leaders. Yeah. We need people to actually advocate for this, because it's also not, I think from a doctor's perspective, it's me sitting on some type of, and giving people. But I think that, if you can also say that, this is, and I mean, I've spoken to people who have, allowed or basically given permission for their child to have the vaccine, knowing, what they are doing. We really want to, this is primary, in the next 20 years we want to see that this is no longer.
Yes, it is, like, the color purple is as famous as the color pink. I want to see that as well. Please tell us about the Purple Project.
So the Purple Project, oh, my baby. it's an initiative, as I said, it is to empower, it's to educate, it's to break stigmas. And we want to facilitate and we want to help every single woman, and I mean every single woman from the age of, when a child is a baby, because that child, 5, 9, so with the HPV program, it's enrolled for girls and boys between 9 and 12.
Okay.
But the thing is, is that we also have this problem in the country where children get molested, children get raped, and that 5-year-old, that 6-year-old will, unfortunately, have been exposed, to something that they didn't ask for. So it is advocating for that for that young, you know, girl or boy. It is basically, and I mean, as I said, this 22-year-old technically had this vaccine available to her, you know. It is higher in the stats in terms of age groups is between the ages of 17 and 45. It's a young group. Cancer is no longer an old, you know, an old person's disease. And I think that's the thing that people also need to really, you know, sort of just
45 is young.
Very young. And that's the thing. I think that there's a lot of people who get shunned because they're young. So you don't really think that, you know, if you have abnormal PV bleeding and everything, they probably think that you just have abnormal menses, you probably have fibroids, or you probably have. But we have to also exclude that there might be, you know, a cancerous component. Sure. And some people just don't get that up front. You know, from a personal experience, at the moment, now I have a 26-year-old cousin with breast cancer, 26-year-old. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, unfortunately, she was sent away because she was young.
She's young.
And so, yes, obviously, one of the danger signs in your older woman, especially when they are postmenopausal, is when PV bleeding is there, it's abnormal. Mm-hmm. But we also have to know that it is no longer an old people. We see very, very, very young people. And we basically want to help with, as I said, primary prevention, want to facilitate in being the gap between educating patients and actually getting them to have pap smears, being followed up and all of that. We're already facilitating with helping patients that are on treatment. So Purple Project have, we've facilitated and helped with sanitary pad drives.
Okay.
And our patients, of course, have PV bleeding, PV discharge, abdominal pain. And you are in a house with, you know, go-go, mama, and to schoolgirls, you know, there's a lot of people that need sanitary pads. So we've been able to facilitate each patient with each visit to give them extra pads as well. And that is by, you know, donations, of course. So, I mean, really thank you to everybody that has donated and are still donating. So that was the first thing that we basically did, is to do sanitary pad drives, because it really, really makes a difference to that patient and to help them through that journey. And then also the social support, you know, social support, the emotional support. And then unfortunately, because we are in the era where it is the highest, you know, rate of or cause of death, is that we have to focus on palliation. We have to focus with end-of-life care. We have to focus on really helping families through this. And this is really what we want to, change. We want to see what we have with breast now.
Yeah.
Where we have flamingo lists. I don't know if you're familiar with flamingo lists. So flamingo lists is, so Flamingo Project is a project that was started, and basically they, so doctors, anesthetists, surgeons, sisters, they donate, or they basically offer their time to do an extra list on a Saturday. So there's a list every Saturday. So far, I know we've got one year in PE, East London and Kruiskeer, and then and they do extra mastectomies on a Saturday. So they're all off duty, but they do it because there are so many radical, so many curative patients and too little time to do those patients.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that we have that, because, you know, we actually need more theater time to be able to do those patients. So we want, yeah, more theater time, more to do, you know, more radical gynae cancers, yeah.
Sure. And how can people partner with you? How can people get hold of the Purple Project?
So we are on social media. We are on Instagram, and we are on Facebook. A little bit old. have to become a content creator. So it's purpleproject_ZA. And then you can also email us at purpleproject.gyn@gmail.com. And yeah, whether it is to try to partner with us, we are looking for partners. We're open donations, especially, as I said, sanitary pads or bare necessities as well. We do toiletry pads for our patients.
Sure.
And yeah, anything that will actually help us to getting our foot into a door, whether it is, if you want, even for me to speak more about it.
Yeah. Nothing that's so necessary.
I am available for that. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming to Swanano. We always enjoy having you here. That's all we have for you today. Swanano more. Tune in again next week. But until then, stay inspired.